tonight to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 9, 1 to 6. The title of this sermon is Invitation to Life. Wisdom had built her house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. She had killed her beast. She mingled her wine. She had also furnished her table. She had sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless these truths to our lives, bring honor and glory to you. Make us a people that are eager to invite people to come to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys know that in the book of Proverbs, it begins, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in the first 8 chapters, it is described very plainly and clearly that what wisdom does and how necessary and important wisdom is. In chapter 1, verse 1, and it's interesting, it is the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Wisdom is personified in chapters 9. What do you think? Wisdom had built her a house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. In other words, it's substantial, it's solid, and it's grounded. And what has wisdom done? Well, wisdom has, and the language that is used here is the language of a meal that has been prepared for those who are invited. She killed her beasts. She'd mingled her wine. She also furnished her table. She had sent forth her maidens. She cried up on the highest place of the city. What do you think? You ever got an invitation? What is the highest invitation you ever got from anybody? This is a two-way conversation tonight. Have you ever been invited by some dignitary? I know you have. When you guys were in the Secret Service, Washington, D.C. I guess everybody in Washington, D.C. is vital and important, isn't it? But you've ever been invited by somebody important? Anybody? And maybe you've got a letter in the mail. Maybe you've got a phone call. You may even have a chauffeur that came up and drove up to your place and handed an invitation to you for you to come to a meal. What do you think? Not in my circles. We come from people. The flats that we lived in, Karlsruhe, there wasn't any important people that invited us. We never had any invitations of any kind. But when I think about the wisdom that Christ personified, is inviting people, and all things are provided. Come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I've mingled. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him, come and eat of my bread. When you begin to look at the scriptures and you see the invitations that are in the scriptures for people to come to Christ and to a saving knowledge of Christ, they're everywhere. In Isaiah chapter 55, there is an invitation that at the end of the concluding remarks of the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55, we read, ho, every one of you that thirsted, come to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye and buy, and eat, and ye come and buy money and milk without money and without price. Think about it. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Here your soul shall live. Invitation to life. The gospel, every time the gospel is proclaimed and preached, it is an invitation to life. I'm going to use something for an illustration. I hope it's not misunderstood. Some of you sometimes invite people to come to your house, don't you? Sometimes we invite people to come to our house. And in order for us to, when we invite and when you invite, I know there goes some thought in preparation. January 1st. Now it's a December, what is it? 31st. December 31st. You don't just put that together on December 31st in the morning to say, well, we've got a few people coming over tonight. What do you think, Bill? We've got some Cheetos and a few chips. And what do you think? Why don't you run down and get some of them little wieners, and we'll put them in that crock pot and heat them up. And what do you think? I think water would be okay. Is that what you all do?
I would.
And thought goes into it. The whatever events that we have in the course of our lives, like deacon and staff and teachers, when we get together on Christmas, and family get-togethers for Christmas, and some of those events that are important to us. We're not talking about, we may not even talking about inviting dignitaries. But one of the things that may bother you, and it does bother me, is this: when there is lots of preparation and lots of cost and lots of work and lots of effort and house cleaning and the right napkins and the right little candles and the color schemes, and I constantly say, what difference does it make? And my wife says, it makes a lot of difference. Ladies, you want to have things just right. Isn't that right? And that one of the things that bothers me, and I know it bothers you, when we say, when are we going to get together? We're going to get together at 7 o'clock. 7:15 rolls around, and 7:30 rolls around, maybe 7:45 rolls around, and you've had a few that come, and then but then there are the others, and you don't want to start because of the fact that we don't want anybody missing anything. I personally, and it's my thing, when I, you know, sometimes it's when you cook and you prepare and you want to have stuff just right. You want the food steaming. You want the food tasty. You don't want it cold. You don't want to put it in a nuclear oven to heat it up and all of that. You want to have it right. You want to have it right there on the table and sit down. We're glad you're here. And it's, there it is. It's all prepared. When people come, and when they come on time, that is a sign of, that was a important invitation to them. They responded to that. One of my complaints is this, and I have that in my own family. It bothers me to no end. It really bothers me a great deal. It bothers me a great deal that there is this mentality that I don't care whether you've said 7 o'clock, we're going to do things at our time and in our way of doing it. Doesn't that bother you? Does it? It bothers you. It just bothers you. And when I think, and here's what I want us to emphasize, is this. When I think of the gospel invitation, that the Lord is saying, all things are ready, all things have been prepared, the calves have been killed, the butchers have prepared, the food has been cooked, it is all there on the table, it is all there, come to it and participate and partake in it. Is that unreasonable? Or am I just so far out of line, am I unreasonable? With the expectation. Because ultimately what happens, what do people show when there is not that response, especially when there has been the time and the energy and the effort and all things that are prepared just right in order for you to treat them to your kindness and to extend a feast to them, when there is not a response to that, it shows to you that it means very little to those that have been invited. When I was reading this Proverbs passage, it was a couple of weeks ago that I'm going through and I'm reading it in my daily quiet time, I ended up in the Gospel of Matthew. And so in the Gospel of Matthew is a portion of Scripture that I want us to continue reading for tonight. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said. We need to underline that. The kingdom of heaven is likened. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. I want you to know I have been to a few weddings that I have to say they were very, very impressive. I remember I must have been 5 or 6. I've got come up with all of these. You know, my long-term memory is really good. Is yours good too, Jim? My long-term memory is still good. I have vividly memories of when I was a child. Vivid of places, of smells and sounds and people and all details. And I remember that my aunt, my father was killed in World War II. I didn't have his name because my mother was not married to that man. But this, my aunt, took me under her wings. And whenever school vacations was, that they would drive up, they had a car. And they would come there to the flat there in the Scheffelstrasse 45 with a little Opel. He was a building contractor, and after World War II, that was a lucrative business. He would come up in that black car, and I would get out, and my grandmother, she'd look at that fifth floor flat, and I would wave goodbye, and I'd get in that car, and off we went. I remember when their son got married. They lived in a little village, and they had everybody in that little village. Everybody was involved in the preparation for that wedding. People across the street, they were making cookies and baking cakes, and I were there, all kinds of decorations, and they were on for weeks. And I still remember, I was so excited about it. I've never been to a wedding. But that was a big deal. And I mean, they worked and they rolled up their sleeves. And I still remember to this day that the bride and the groom, Gunther, and the wife that he married, several years ago, that Frankie and I, we spent some time with them when they had lived out there in the country. But what a great wedding, the work that all gone into. And I remember them going. And back then, they had our weddings are really kind of subdued. In that part of the country, in that world, in Europe, and in those eastern countries, they don't just have a wedding when is the wedding? 2 o'clock, okay. Then they have a reception at, 2:45, and we'll go through the line, and by the time we greet everybody, it'll be 3:15, 4 o'clock, we'll be home. When you go to the wedding, in Europe, I want you to know, it's a two-day affair. It is. And I remember that as the boy, that when they got married and they had this, rented this great big room, and they had the music and the dancing, and they had the wine, and they had the cakes, and they had the meals, and everybody, they were all of the silverware. It was a big, big thing. Now, when I read this, he said, here's the kingdom of heaven. A certain king which made a marriage for his son. I want you to know that was not a Sam's catered wedding where they get the little tiny little, what do we call them, little quiches, and get some dishes with mince and peanuts and a few little things like that and all of that. But when you think about that, it was there a preparation. The Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now, let me tell you what, when we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus, we need to preach it that we recognize and realize that here is what we are, spiritually dead. The grace of God, who can understand and calculate the grace of God? Who can? I want you to know I can. How do we estimate and calculate new life and spiritual life? How do we calculate the fact that we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus? How do we calculate what's going to happen when this life is done? I mean, how do we calculate and think about that which Karen is experiencing now face to face with the Lord Jesus? How do you calculate that? That's what we have been created for. Is to love God and enjoy Him forever. And the invitation to life is this, is that I know that, and we need to be very careful here how we proclaim that. We want to be very honest with where we are in our condition, because in this very parable, that there was someone that was there that really wasn't prepared, you know, for that at hand. But at the same time that we make it plain to people, you know, coming to the Lord Jesus is not, and coming to this wedding is not, an invitation to a prison house. It's the invitation out of the prison house and to be sitting at the table of the King that has been prepared for us. As I'm thinking about this passage, I'm thinking about, in just a second, I'm thinking about this table right here. Because here in this passage, that those that were invited, look at it, and it says, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, and come unto the marriage. Now, that is clear, isn't it? Is that clear? And what is it that we're inviting them to? Come and let's get some chains around your legs and around your neck. Your life is over if you come to know the Lord Jesus. I've got news for you. You're not even alive unless you are in the Lord Jesus. And so we see that. We see how they responded. Now, this first invitation, I want you to know, it's the gospel invitation, went to the Jews. And what did the Jews do? The Lord Jesus came to his own received him not. In verse 5, we read, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. But they made light of it. There are some other things, if we take the opposite of light, there are some weightier things that are in people's minds and in their lives to say, you know what, I got more important things to do. Isn't that the truth? I mean, when you invite people to come to the Lord Jesus, and you invite them to, under the sound of the gospel, you invite them to the preaching of God's word, if you invite him to come to church. And how often have we done that? I mean, what is it that will? I was visiting here. It's been about a month ago with a man who I've known for 45 years, and I talked to him about the Lord Jesus, and I invited him to come to church. I said, "Come under the sound of the gospel." And you know what he said? He said, "I'll surprise you one of these days." Now, is that taking you at the word and to say, "Well, this is a," you follow me? I mean, the mentality is this, is that I've got other things that are weightier and more important than coming to this. They made light of it. Then said he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage." What do you think? Was the marriage canceled because of the fact that those that were invited, those guests, that they made light of it? Was that the end of the wedding? I don't want you to know, and of course we know that. See, one of the things that we do, we've got the book. I mean, we got the end of the story, don't we? All we got to do is go to the back of the book. Let's read the end. You know, in the end of the book is what is it? There is going to be a feast and there's going to be a wedding in it. And I mean, the bride has made herself ready. I think we read that here a couple of weeks ago in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19. And so one of those things that we need to remember is that how vital and important how we people invite people to come to the Lord Jesus. Look with me in Luke chapter 14. There's a parallel passage to this one. Luke chapter 14. It's a little bit of different, but it is similar. Luke 14, verse 15. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that I may be excused." I don't know how many years ago it's been, probably 35 years ago, there used to be a family that I would go visit regularly. They had young kids and teenagers, and they were children. And a fine family, were the kind of people that whenever you get around, Jim, the kind of people you say, man, them are really, I like them. You know, you get around people like that, you just like them. Seemed like hardworking. You shook the man's hand. He had calluses on his hands. He was in the construction business and had another business on the side. Hardworking people. And they worked, had a piece of property, had gardens, and heated the house in the winter with firewood. And I mean, there was always constantly something going. And one of the things that so stood out with me was time and time again, whenever there was the invitation, that I would say, "Why don't you come? Why don't you come to church? Why don't you come under the sound of the gospel? Why don't you come?" And it was amazing to me. It was whatever time of year it was. If it was in the end of the summer, well, I'm canning. I've got so much. We've harvested so much. I'm canning all this stuff. When it was in the wintertime, they would say, "Well, you know, we're running a little bit short on firewood, and I've got to get out, and I need to cut some firewood in order for us to have." There was always something. If it was the spring, "Well, we're putting in a garden. I've got to put in a garden." Now, is there anything wrong with firewood? Is there anything wrong with a garden? Is there anything wrong with canning? Is there anything wrong with any of that? When you look at this passage there in Luke, he says, Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, I must needs go see it. I pray, let have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray that I may be excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Listen to people. Has things changed in the last 2,000 years? Has it? It's exactly the same. I've got to go to school. I need to graduate. I've got a job. I've got this. I've got a baby. I've got ball. I've got this. All kinds of stuff that comes in the way, isn't it? Another said, So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly under the streets and lanes of the city. And of course, in this, with the parable, the invitation is again to the Jews. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, bringing hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Is it filled? I want you to know, I'm so glad that we heard the invitation to come. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And we're going to look at each other, we're going to say, honestly, what? Schäferstrasse 45? I'm invited to the king's table. Us? Who are we? We've never owned nothing. We've never had any kind of reputation of any kind. We've got no standing. We've got no plaques and no honor of this and that. Who are we? What he says, go out in the highways and byways and hedges and compel them to come in. We need to do that. We need to invite people to come to know the Lord Jesus. Whether it's there at Jelco or whether it's at the city or wherever it is, wherever we are, is that we have on the tip of our tongue, come and invite the people to come. You know, what is the problem as far as why don't sinners come to know the Lord Jesus? It's not because it was not, the invitation was not there. I want you to know they simply did not want to come. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when he looked at Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Isn't that you guys are still in the minor prophets? What a tragedy, isn't it? I mean, here the messengers are coming. The invitation to life. And what do they do with those that are inviting people to come and the table is ready? It's all done. All you got to do is come and sit down. And what do? Instead of coming, they kill those messengers that have come with the invitation of life. And why are we coming? Well, I tell you what, it is the Lord that has warmed our hearts and opened our understanding. The Lord says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. It was probably... I don't know, maybe 1979 or here in this building, I had Vacation Bible School when it was First Baptist Church of Tanglewood. And I had, right behind this little pulpit, I had a hen in a box. Pastor Haley used to do visual stuff with children to illustrate this point. I had a hen. We used to have hens and chickens up on the mountain. And I brought that hen. She had, I don't know, 12, 13 little chickadees. And I brought that chicken in here, put it in a box. Then the little kids were all sitting up here. And then I turned the little chicks loose back to that back door. And I want to tell you something. You talk about them kids, they got up in there. That, I want to tell you something. That mama hen never saw them chicks. But she plucked them right up here until they got up here and jumped up there. The Lord is using the illustration. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and you would not. And then, of course, with that, and we read in this passage that the ruin, when you think about it, how the Lord came in judgment upon Israel and to where they are even today. That's awful, isn't it? Do you know that here is the nation of Israel. The Messiah has come 2,000 years ago. And they're still blind. When you look at the history of the church, the persecution of the ministers and pastors and preachers, but then we see how the gospel came, salvation came to the Gentiles. That what an incredible invitation to the royal wedding feast. Isn't that wonderful? And then we come to the end of Matthew chapter 22, where we read in verse 10, so those servants went out into the highway and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he said, he was speechless. You know, there are some people that like to get to the wedding, but they like to get there their own way. It's not going to happen. He's going to be found out. Unless we are dressed in the glory and the beauty and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know we're going to be found out. Amen. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then for many are called, but few are chosen. What do you think? Let's get to the wedding the right way. Let me read to you in closing a remark that I read from Matthew Henry. The case of the hypocrites is represented by the guest that had not on a wedding garment. It concerns all to prepare for the scrutiny and those only who put on the Lord Jesus, who have a Christian temper of mind, who live by faith in Christ, and to whom he is in all have a wedding garment, the imputed righteousness of Christ and the sanctifying of the Spirit are both alike necessary. You know, there are a lot of people, and that's really awful to think about it. There are lots of people in churches who really do not know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. They go through the motions, hypocrites. Oh, I hope that I'm not a hypocrite. I hope that my confidence is in the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that my life is in a process of being sanctified, ever being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I pray that that is the same for you. And then in the meantime, I want us to say, let's go back for just a second to that. You don't have to open it up to read it, but I wonder if we all could not go back to the language that was used by the personified wisdom in Proverbs chapter 9 that cries aloud and invites people to come and to be at the table of wisdom and to learn from her. What do you think? We don't have it here in Oklahoma, but in lots of places in the world you've got people who are doing all kinds of things verbally. I think they have it up in New York. I'm sure they do. That you have people, store owners and business people and all kinds of stuff. Occasionally you see, I guess you have it in Oklahoma too, where you've got a guy that's standing on the corner there on the 412 and 97 that's inviting people to a closeout, and he's there standing and sleeping with his sign up. But the idea is in Proverbs 9 is come and it is ready, come and you're invited to come. It is all there, come and have life. People that you all work with, I know you guys do that. I have to say, when people go to work at Jelco, they have Alan and Randy to deal with. Because these two guys gang up on them and they say, hey, where is your, are you trusting in Christ? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to repent and you need to flee to the Lord Jesus. That's what you guys do. These guys don't have a chance. They don't come to the wedding. They quit in it. And so let's be verbal about that. When it comes to our family members, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our children, grandchildren, that we need to come right to the point. That we need to say, how about it? Coming to Christ is coming to life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you tonight and we ask that you would make us proclaimers, the messengers, that go out in the highways, byways, and hedges and compel them and invite them to come in. And Lord, we pray for grace and we pray for faith. We pray, Lord, for steadfastness, perseverance as we press on until we see you face to face, and then we're going to be seated at the table that you have prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to appreciate the weightiness of it all, and that we would not make light of things that you've done for us. Use us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.